More to Life is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Today on More to Life, on defense. Are you feeling attacked, picked on, or misunderstood? Not sure how to stop someone from being so antagonistic? We'll help you defuse those situations gracefully. Give us a call at 877-573-7825.
Everyone says they want to have a great marriage and family and personal life. Well, the theology of the body reveals how you can actually achieve it.
More to Life.
The happiest couples know how to say I do to each other every moment of every day.
Surprising, relevant, hopeful.
Angela, let's not just settle for stopping your son's behavior.
Exactly. Let's talk about the kind of young man you want to raise.
Practical, theology of the body-based answers for every part of your life.
God's original blueprint didn't include depression and anxiety.
Yeah, that's a human invention. God wants to set you free. Let's talk about making that happen.
The life you were meant to live through the theology of the body. More to Life.
Good morning, everyone. This is Dr. Greg Popchak.
I'm Lisa Popchak.
And you're listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Today, we're talking about antagonism. When people are antagonistic, irritating, obnoxious, verbally abusive, our show is titled On Defense. And if you're feeling attacked, picked on, or misunderstood, if you're not sure how to stop someone from being antagonistic or respond gracefully in those situations, give us a call at 877-573-7825. We want to help you respond effectively and gracefully to those times when you do feel attacked, misunderstood, picked on, disrespected, you name it. We've all got those situations that we're not quite sure how to respond to, and those people in general who are just antagonistic and difficult to deal with. Let us help you manage those relationships more effectively and start, well, and stop being on the defense all the time.
Well, and to know a proper defense if you know somebody is chronically like that, instead of just being reactionary, to actually know the right plays and do the right things to actually make an effective change in that person and in that relationship. You know, being defensive in a reactionary way doesn't really get us anywhere. But knowing the right way to defend oneself, to correct the behaviors, to change the relationship, to empower ourselves, that can change everything in that dynamic. That can make it healthy. That can bring the Holy Spirit into it. That can heal both of you and make that relationship thrive instead of be something that injures us in some way. So if you are struggling today with someone who often makes you feel attacked by them, either in a passive-aggressive way or in a full-on kind of way, if you feel picked on, especially if, you know, they're doing it in that way where they do it around other people, other friends or family members or colleagues, and so it's kind of this subtle demeaning of you in other people's eyes. If you're feeling misunderstood and they're not getting who you are and they're constantly, you know, picking on you and not getting it, well, whatever that situation is, we're going to help you diffuse those situations gracefully today if you give us a call on More to Life. 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825.
And every day on More to Life, we take a look at the topic of the day through the lens of St. John Paul's theology of the body. And for folks who aren't aware what that is, St. John Paul gave a series of reflections over the course of about 5 years on, well, that gave us a lens, actually, that enables us to see the sacraments, really all of salvation history, in a way that reveals God's plan for living a more abundant life and having healthier, holier relationships.
The theology of the body reminds us that every person has dignity and deserves to be treated with love, including those people we experience as antagonistic and unsupportive. But the theology of the body also reminds us that loving people doesn't mean letting them treat us however they want. Loving someone means working for their good, we aren't working for another person's good. That is, we aren't being loving if we allow them to demean themselves by behaving in a cruel, abusive, disrespectful, antagonistic, or unkind manner. We can't just do whatever comes naturally in the face of antagonistic behavior, whether that means our natural tendency is to avoid conflict or to inflame it. Instead, when we feel attacked, we have to ask God to help us make a response that serves the ultimate good of everyone involved in the situation.
And that can be complicated, but fortunately, our Lord gave us an example of how to respond to that. In fact, Jesus modeled two ways of confronting abusive behavior. Sometimes, when he was clearer about the greater good being served, for instance, the salvation of humankind, he patiently bore those wrongs that were committed against him. But other times, when the greater good required it, for instance, when the Pharisees intentionally tried to twist his meanings or confuse his message or undermine his mission, he confronted them. And like our Lord, we have to always respond to antagonistic people with the greater good in mind. It's not just about reacting in the moment. We've got to bring our emotions to God and ask him to teach us how to respond in a way that will glorify him, help us be our best selves, and lovingly challenge that antagonistic person to be better. You know, sometimes that requires us to give the other person the space they need to self-correct. You know, we don't want to pour coals on, you know, somebody already who's already feeling bad about what they did. But other times, it's going to require us to be more direct. You know, when with prayer and practice, we can learn to deal gracefully with even the most antagonistic and unsupportive people. And if you're thinking of somebody in your life who, you know, when you imagine having to deal with them, it just makes you go, I don't really want to put up with that person again.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you're thinking about an interaction that you had, you know, maybe in the last couple of days that made you feel less than in some way, made you feel picked on, put upon, antagonized. If you're in a relationship with somebody who is consistently verbally abusive, and you're just not sure how to respond well, you know, because you find yourself either shutting down and trying to just avoid the conflict, or getting triggered and lashing out in ways that maybe are just as bad, we want to help you find a graceful way to respond effectively that helps you be your best and invites the other person to be better than they are. 877-573-7825. The number again, 877-573-7825.
Or if you're trying to heal from having an antagonistic relationship with somebody in your life, you know, you had those very critical, antagonistic parents, and you're saying, you know, how do I deal with it now that I'm an adult, or now that they're not here and I'm still feeling the effects of that in my life? If you have an antagonistic relationship with an ex and you're still having to deal with them in your life because, you know, you're raising kids together or have a family together somehow. If you have that person who you're feeling is constantly living in the back of your head, whoever that person was that made you just cringe when you think of having to deal with someone who's hostile, who's verbally abusive in some way, who's consistently unkind, because those other people kind of robbed your energy and your ability to handle that. Whether you're trying to heal from somebody or some situation that's gone on before, or you're dealing with that person or people now, we're here for you today on More to Life. Give us a call. 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825.
Our show today is titled On Defense. And if you're feeling attacked, picked on, or misunderstood, and you're not sure how to stop someone from being so antagonistic, we want to help you diffuse those situations gracefully. Again, the number 877-573-7825. Let's take our concerns to the Lord. We'll start taking your calls in the name of the Father,
and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Lord Jesus Christ, so often we find ourselves in situations where we feel picked on, attacked, misunderstood, antagonized, and it's difficult to know how to deal with those situations and people gracefully. Often we find ourselves either trying to avoid them or conflict in general, or allowing them to trigger us, to lash out in ways that are demeaning to us as well as them. But you call us to be loving in every situation, to work for our good and for the good of others, even in those difficult circumstances. And so we ask you, Lord, to give us the grace and wisdom we need to know how to work for the good of those who hurt us, how to be our best self in those situations and invite them to be better as well, whether that means giving them the space to self-correct or finding ways to charitably challenge them to do better. Give us the words, give us the attitude, give us the vision that enables us to know what it means to work for the ultimate good of everyone, even in these circumstances. We ask all of this through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary, and in the name of the Father,
the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Pope St. John Paul the Great,
pray for us.
Today on More to Life, the show is titled On Defense, as we talk about those times when we feel attacked. You know, and it could be big ways or little ways. It could be habitual. It could be occasional. But the fact is, none of us know how to respond terrifically well when somebody either misunderstands us or antagonizes us or picks on us or is verbally abusive to us. And if you are in a relationship with someone that you're, kind of feeling like that describes it, let's talk it out and find some graceful ways to be the person God's calling you to be in that situation. 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Jim, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Detroit.
Hi, Jim. Welcome to More to Life. How can we help you out today?
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. I just had a situation with my wife last night where I was suggesting that I kind of felt called that we should start maybe giving a little bit of money each month to charity. Mm-hmm. And my wife responded kind of, I felt like it was an attack. Like, you think we have money for that? You know, wait till the kids are out of college. And is this because you inherited money from your parents? And so I was kind of shocked at that. And I said, well, the money could come out of my checking account and you wouldn't have to do anything. And it kind of developed into a conversation of her money versus mine. And, then I came back and said, I wanted it to be something that both of us could do together. And she was like, oh, okay. And we kind of reconciled, but Now that I thought about it, I was like, you know what? I didn't really want it to be just coming out of my checking account. I wanted it to be something that we would both do together. And so I kind of wanted to readdress the issue, but maybe wait a couple of days. And sometimes it takes her some time to process things, too.
Mm-hmm. Well, sure. So it does take time. You know, Jim, I'm hearing that, you guys have staked out your own territory here with your bank accounts, which means in most cases that are like that, you probably don't talk and pray together and feel unified in your financial situation, perhaps don't feel safe together. Is that the case overall?
Yeah, I would say that's accurate.
Can you tell us a little bit more about that? Like, what do you mean?
So I take care of all the bills and everything, and then she puts in like $700 a month in the checking account. But I do feel nervous about asking for anything, or like, could you put a couple hundred dollars more in there?
Well, but I guess, like, why do you guys have that arrangement? What stops you from being able to be,
unify all your accounts. I mean, you know, usually, classically, now things change every day in terms of how we view, you know, life. But classically, when you're in a Catholic marriage, you're completely united. You're sharing your souls, you're sharing your bodies, so you share your household as well, and that includes your savings and checking accounts. So what's keeping you guys divided on this?
I think that she wanted to have her own account, but also she is not a Catholic. She's of a different denomination.
Okay.
She's also from a very different culture and background. I don't even remember when it started. We've been married over 20 years. But
well, let's take it off the money thing for a second. Do you guys pray together?
A little. We pray at meals. That's basically it.
Okay, but you don't pray about your decisions or your life together or any of that sort of thing?
We do that a little bit at meals, but not decisions, not so much.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and is there, would do you think she should be open to it?
Yes.
Okay. Well, look, here's the thing, Jim. I see this as a bigger issue. Not everybody has to share their accounts, but where you have the kind of thing that you're talking about here, what you're saying is that there are a lot of areas where you're divided. And I see this as an invitation from the Holy Spirit to challenge those areas, to kind of challenge that status quo where, you know, you create your own piles, whether that's spiritual piles or financial piles or division of labor piles or whatever. And you kind of have this relationship where each of you kind of has your separate piles and has dominion over those things, but maybe hasn't worked as well as you need to be a real partnership, you know, to be helpmates to each other. And this disagreement kind of touches on that, right? So there are two things I'd like to say. The first one is, you know, in response to this particular issue, I would like you to go back to your wife, and I'd like you to say, listen, you know, I really feel like we got off on the wrong foot on this. What are your concerns exactly? You know, if we were to be a little more charitable and to be more generous, even a little bit, what are you afraid would happen? You know, because it seemed like you were concerned that if we gave any money at all to charity, that we would be somehow, I don't know, jeopardizing our ability to pay our bills or meet our needs. Help me understand where you're coming from on that.
Because it does sound like she's coming from some kind of place of fear.
And so you want to walk her through that. Don't try to talk her out of it.
Not at all.
Ask her to explain it, to really, and reflect back so she can hear what she's really saying and thinking. So it's not just a reaction. You're actually walking through it. But the bigger picture, I'd like you to, about this or any other decision, I'd like you to say, well, listen, you know, we're both Christian. I know we're not Catholic, both of us, but we're both Christian. And, you know, God has a plan for our life. And I'd really like us to start praying about what that is. Because, you know, Jim, you can have a marriage where you've got two Christians in it, but it's not a Christian marriage unless you're actually asking God to teach you how to be married. Right? And so every day, I would love for you to sit down, not just at meals, but at a special time, even if it's only for 5 minutes, and say, you know, Lord, we give you our relationship, we give you our family, and we ask you to teach us how to be partners to each other. Help us to really, you know, I know what I want, and she knows what she wants, but help us to always defer to what you want. Help us to know what that is, and help us to take care of each other while we're trying to figure it out, so that through everything, you're helping us draw closer to each other and to you. Amen. Now, that whole prayer actually took about 45 seconds, but if you guys did it every day and you really listened to each other and you let that prayer be a springboard for deeper conversations, you guys would have a totally different marriage in a fairly short order, because it would start opening up things that you needed to address and helping you overcome those things that were coming between the two of you. I'm going to encourage you to pick up a copy of my book, Praying For and With Your Spouse, The Way to Deeper Love. Lisa and I wrote that as a book that really talks about how to invite God into the center of your relationship so that you can start to defer to one another out of reverence for Christ, as it says in Ephesians.
And I really encourage you, Jim, to not get caught up in the should we give money and how much conversation. This is about drawing you two closer together. So have the conversation Greg's talking about here. But if she says, I'm not comfortable with that, well, then you say, you know what, how do we then do charitable things together? Is there a charitable project we can work on together? Is there a couple hours a week we can volunteer together? Because you two really are hurting for a close, connected situation here. You really are.
All right, Jim, thank you so much for the call, and I hope that these suggestions will enable you to re-engage the conversation, but also see the bigger picture issue that you guys are struggling with. And if there's more that we can do to support you, don't hesitate to check out the resources we have for building a better marriage at CatholicCounselors.com, including our book, For Better Forever, A Catholic Guide to Lifelong Marriage, and also How to Heal Your Marriage and Nurture Lasting Love. Both of those resources are available at CatholicCounselors.com. All right, we are taking your calls, listeners, about those times when you feel attacked, picked on, misunderstood. Our show today is titled On Defense. And if you're feeling on defense with somebody in your life, let's talk about how to respond gracefully and manage those situations effectively. 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825. More to Life will continue right after the break.
CMF Curo is a Catholic healthcare ministry providing families nationwide with a better solution centered around whole health, spirit, mind, and body. Our members share their medical burdens within a faith-filled community. At CMF Curo, our members have access to a spiritual director, concierge services, and other health and spiritual resources. Find out if CMF Curo is a better solution for your family. Visit MyCatholicHealthcare.com. That's MyCatholicHealthcare.com.
Father Benedict Groeschel.
Awe. I love reverence. Wherever I go in the world, I usually go to visit the religious buildings. And no matter what I see reverence. Awe. I've been in temples and mosques where I saw more reverence and awe of God than I see in Christian churches, even sometimes in Catholic churches. Oh, yes. Let me say it. When I was a boy, Catholics were much more reverent and respectful in church. You never, ever spoke in church. I was a young priest. A man had a heart attack at the beginning of Mass. I stopped the Mass. We prayed for the man while the police were coming, the ambulance. They removed him from the church. He didn't die. Not one word was spoken. The police officers and the ambulance attendants who came whispered respect. I wish it were true today.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
This program is brought to you in part by Charity Mobile, a proud partner of Ave Maria Radio for almost 20 years. Charity Mobile is the pro-life cell phone company, and it sent millions of dollars to thousands of pro-life charities. 5G coverage is available nationwide, and 5% of your monthly plan price goes to your favorite pro-life charity. Live chat and a video introduction are available at CharityMobile.com. Charity Mobile, everyday living, effortless giving. CharityMobile.com.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and today our show is titled On Defense, as we talk about those times when we feel like we're being attacked, picked on, misunderstood by somebody that we care about, or, well, even somebody that we don't, but we can't get rid of, maybe. We all have that person in our life.
Or we're trying to heal from that person in our head who did all this to us, and now we don't know how to get over it.
You know, what's the Christian response to being treated poorly? You know, to being spoken to disrespectfully or cruelly, being picked on or attacked? Let's talk about it together at 877-573-7822. You know, yesterday in the Gospels, we were talking about the Beatitudes. Mm-hmm. You know, of course, one of the Beatitudes is, blessed are you when you are persecuted for my sake. And I think that we have a tendency to assume that that means that if we're being persecuted, that's a good thing, so we should just let it happen.
Yeah.
And, you know, as I said in the reflection at the beginning, there are times when bearing wrongs patiently is the correct thing to do. Usually that's when the other person, the person who's attacking us, you know, has a habit of generally being a decent person. And if we just give them some space, they'll see how they're treating us and self-correct. You know, giving that person that space to just reflect on their behavior and correct themselves is a blessing. But then there are other times when the other person won't do that because they're just habitually mean.
Just how they tick.
You know, and in those times, the spiritual work of mercy of admonishing the sinner is actually the right thing to do.
Isn't that amazing? We think of all of these spiritual works of mercy as being so passive and so docile. But we are called, as in part of, you know, the works of mercy here, to instruct the ignorant and admonish the sinner. And we don't really think about that very often, but it is very much what we're called to do with somebody who is habitually being
cruel.
Nasty and aggravating.
Yeah, well, and you know, when Jesus said, "Blessed are you who are persecuted for my sake," not because being persecuted is a good thing, but because being persecuted gives us the opportunity to witness to the gospel. Right? Anytime we're treated poorly, that gives us an opportunity to either witness with our behavior to the gospel or with our words to the gospel. And how do we do that? Well, exactly as we said at the beginning of the show, we work to love the other person by working for their good. Loving somebody doesn't mean putting up with whatever they do. It means working for their good, challenging them charitably to be better in some way. Whether that means giving them the space they need to figure it out for themselves, or sometimes lovingly challenging them that their behavior is wrong and setting consequences that make it more difficult for them to behave that way in the future. Jesus did both of those things, and we can too. But we need to prayerfully reflect on what God is calling us to in this situation. So if you're not sure, you know, if you're on the receiving end of somebody's antagonistic, verbally abusive, cruel behavior, if you're feeling picked on, attacked, or misunderstood, we want to help. So give us a call at 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825. Let's talk about how to deal gracefully with those times when you're feeling picked on, attacked, or misunderstood. More to Life will continue with your questions, comments, and insights on the other side of the break. Stick around.
Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo.
It's extremely, I think, hypocritical. It's awful. It's so frustrating to hear these big companies saying they are so proud to pay for abortions for the employees, even pay for transportation, pay for the abortions, up to $10,000 some companies are willing to spend to send their employees to get an abortion in states that would still allow it, such as New York and California, and of course right now with all the shenanigans going on in Michigan. But what about health care? What about what about maternity care for moms? What about backing moms in other ways in the workforce as opposed to pitting them against their children? I mean, think about how sexist that is and how undignified that is to say to a woman, you can go get your abortion and then you can come back to work in a day or two. I mean, it's ridiculous.
Catholic Connections, Teresa Tomeo. Weekdays, 9 a.m. Eastern on EWTN Radio.
Did you know you have divine glory living within you? If you are a baptized Christian, you are host to a gentle guest, says the Catholic Catechism. This guest inspires, guides, corrects, and strengthens us to live our life in Christ. That gentle friend is the Spirit of Christ, the third person of the Blessed Trinity, the Holy Spirit. He is active in us, transforming us spiritually if we are willing, so that we may live as children of the light. There are two ways to live. The first way, the way of Christ, leads to life. The opposite way leads to death, an eternity without God. Choose life, then. Choose Christ, a life of challenge and joy. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
Hi, I'm Dr. Greg Popchak. What does it mean for a dad to be poor in spirit? According to scripture scholars, the man who is poor in spirit is profoundly aware of his radical dependence on God. Men often struggle with this idea. Many of us have been raised to believe that it's a virtue to be self-sufficient. Boys are taught from toddlerhood that they're sissies if they ever need their moms or dads too much. This world tells us, blessed is the man who takes care of himself and minds his own affairs. But this attitude is completely contrary to the message of Jesus. In the words of Pope Francis, when the heart is rich and self-satisfied, it has no place for the Word of God. Catholic dads, do you know what it means to be radically dependent on God's help to be a great husband and father? To learn more, check out my book, Be Dadattudes, 8 Ways to Be an Awesome Dad, or visit CatholicCounselors.com.
Glad to be with you today on More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and today our show is titled On Defense, as we talk about those times when we feel attacked, picked on, or misunderstood by someone. And that could be a one-off situation where, you know, we just have a misunderstanding and they're being mean to us out of reaction. Or we could be in a relationship with somebody who's habitually verbally abusive, cruel, unkind, demeaning, disrespectful. If that rings a bell and you're looking for graceful ways to respond, give us a call. The number, 877-573-7825. Again, that number is 877-573-7825.
Let's talk to our next caller who's listening to EWTN Radio in Pennsylvania.
Hi, listener in Pennsylvania. What's your question for us today?
So, I'm a widow of 5 years. I have 7 married children, and I have 17 grandchildren. And my husband, of course, has been gone 5 years. And to tell you the truth, I feel free. I'm sometimes happy he's gone because of all the pain he put me through. And then sometimes I miss him drastically as a man holding my hand. And but wow. So I guess I'm ready to move on to the next phase of life, maybe finding somebody else because I'm still so young. And so my dad died at 63. My husband died at 63. My mom and dad were married 42 years. We were married 42 years. My mom and dad had 6 girls and 1 boy, and I'm their oldest, and Bob and I had 6 girls and 1 boy. We put everybody through school and college, and things were wonderful the last, like, 5 years of our life. I got coffee in bed every morning, but still, he was like the eagle high, flying high in the sky, and I was like the little bluebird flying below, hanging on for dear life.
Yeah, it says that, you know, he was kind of verbally abusive to you sometimes and things like that. And those relationships are never clear-cut because we would know that we should just, you know, separate ourselves from somebody who's absolutely abusive all the time. People who are especially who are verbally abusive can do both.
He wasn't all the time, but enough that it cut my, you know,
depressed you.
So how can we help you today? What's your question for us?
I really just want to know how I can get past the hurt thoughts and the abusiveness to move on, because, of course, my grandchildren and my children, of course, you know, Papa was everything. He was the fun person, and I was the nana and still am. Let's brush our teeth. Let's say our prayers, you know, let's eat. But Papa was always the fun one. So I'm just ready to heal and move on to meet somebody else that I don't want to carry this garbage with me.
Well, right. And you know, before you enter into any other relationship, I'd really encourage you to spend some time both on your own and perhaps with a good pastoral counselor to work on what we call the difference between consolations and desolations. So a consolation, this is St. Ignatius of Loyola, right? So he said that a consolation is basically the voice of the Holy Spirit. You know, this is going to sound like those cartoons, but actually the cartoons got this from St. Ignatius, all right? So the angel and the devil on the shoulder thing, that's actually from St. Ignatius. So a consolation is anything we hear in our head, any movement of the Spirit, as Ignatius put it, any feeling, any response, any impulse, but especially any thought in our head that enables us to be the person God is calling us to be, or helps us draw closer to God. A desolation, on the other hand, is that voice of the enemy on the other shoulder, whispering in your spiritual ear, pulling you away from being the whole, healed, godly, grace-filled, powerful, prophetic woman of God that you are, or making it difficult for you to draw closer to God and experience his love and grace and mercy. So any thought, any regardless of whose voice it's in, right? You know, the Holy Spirit... spirits don't have bodies, right? So they use other people's voices often to talk to us. And so anything that you hear in your head, regardless of whether it's from your husband or a parent or yourself or whatever, that draws you closer to being the person God is calling you to be or draws you closer to God, well, that's actually the voice of the Holy Spirit talking through that person to you. That said, any voice you hear that pulls you away from being that whole-healed, godly, grace-filled woman that God is calling you to be or draws you closer to the Lord is the voice of the enemy, regardless of what it sounds like. And we need to reject those voices from the enemy. We need to learn to come against them, to test, as it says in 2 Corinthians, to test every thought according to Christ Jesus. And so by doing that work, you know, you're able to start to tune into more of what is God calling you to? What is God saying about you? What is God saying that you're worth? What is God challenging you to become better at or to become more of, as opposed to hearing that voice in your head that's constantly diminishing you, constantly running you down, constantly making you feel less than? Those are all the voices of the enemy that God does not want you to hold on to. I talk about this actually a lot in my book, Unworried, A Life Without Anxiety. Now, you're not describing an anxiety problem, but that book does address that whole idea of consolations and desolations. How do we begin to really fight back against those desolations and really cling to the consolations that the Holy Spirit is whispering in our spiritual ear about who we're called to be, especially now? And I think that could be a really useful resource for you. But it's also hard to do that entirely on your own. And so working with a good professional, either a pastoral counselor or you know, a counselor in your area, to kind of challenge those desolations, those cognitive distortions that get in the way of hearing God's voice and moving you toward the person that God is calling you to be at this stage in your life, can be really tremendously helpful.
And a good pastoral counselor will really help you sort out, you know, the wheat from the chaff in all of those thoughts. The other thing I highly encourage you to do is to spend time every day, set it aside for yourself in prayer, talking to God about sorting all this out and journaling about it. Just write down all of these thoughts so you can get them out there and be able to go back a few days later and look at them and see what the Holy Spirit is revealing to you. Because when you talk to us, I'm hearing this thing of, this is who Nana had to be, and I'm still being this person because my husband got to be the fun person and I had to play this other role. Well, you don't have to play any role right now. Your children are grown. So I want you to talk to God every day about, Lord, who do you want me to be? There's stuff under here that was oppressed because I thought I had to be this particular kind of wife, this particular kind of mother, this particular kind of grandma. But I think that you might be telling me that you have other gifts that you want to bring out in me now. And I need to ask you for the freedom to do that and for you to guide me baby step by baby step to become the woman you're calling me to be now, so that people, not only can I feel fulfilled and filled up with your Holy Spirit, but other people can be blessed by me in different ways than the role I've always been playing because I was sort of shoved into it.
So praying that prayer of, you know, Lord, help me to see myself through your eyes as the whole, healed, godly, yeah, grace-filled woman you're calling me to be. And help me to know what that means to the way I live and the way I relate to others. But all of those things, the journaling, the identifying the consolations and desolations, the praying through what God is calling you to be next, and getting the professional support that you need to heal, I think will be tremendously important for identifying the next step in your life. I would really encourage you, though, not to move into another relationship before you've done this work, because that's the best way to repeat the same thing that you've always got.
But I have to say, I really see the gift of the Holy Spirit of wisdom here, that now after 5 years of processing the grief and processing in hindsight your relationship with your late husband, the Holy Spirit is giving you wisdom, the beginnings of wisdom, to say, hey, you know, there were blessings in this, but there were also some wounds. And I think that the Holy Spirit is leading you to healing and a whole new stage of your life that will really be blessed and filled with life in God. But take those steps carefully. Don't think if you just get into another relationship, you'll feel whole. He's calling you to a wholeness in Christ first.
Again, if you'd like to learn more about the resources we mentioned or about the Pastoral Solutions Institute's pastoral telecounseling practice, you can visit CatholicCounselors.com and check out those books and learn more about our pastoral counseling work as well. Thanks so much for the call. 877-573-7825. We're talking today about those times when we feel attacked, misunderstood, picked on. The show's titled On Defense. Give us a call at 877-573-7825. Let's talk about how to gracefully and effectively handle those situations where someone is being less than kind in the ways they're talking to us or responding to us. 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Andrew, who's listening to EWTN Radio in North Carolina on the TuneIn app.
Hey, Andrew, welcome to More to Life. How can we help you out?
So, I was married to my wife about 2 years ago, and we married outside of the church. She was raised Episcopal. I was raised Catholic. And we both decided, as we want to have kids going forward, that we would come back to the church. And okay. We're actually both doing RCIA right now.
Oh, that's wonderful. I love that you're doing that together. That's just wonderful.
Welcome home.
Yeah, it makes me very happy. She has an uncle that we're both pretty close with. And he is a fervent and very vocal Protestant. And he's been saying things to her about us going through this process, you know, telling her that the Catholic Church is, quote unquote, culty, and that, you know, going through this process is going to turn her heart from having a true relationship with Jesus. And it's been a bit of a source of resentment on my end, and I tend to react very emotionally to things. And
how does she feel about it?
I've been keeping quiet. She's I trust that she's, and I know she's smart enough to make her own assessments and be able to see that he, you know, he is who he is. But, you know, in discussing the process with her of RCIA, she has told me how much she enjoys it. Nothing but good things. And
doesn't sound like you've talked to her, though, about how she feels about this and what kind of limits or boundaries she needs to set with him, if any.
And just her personal relationship with his questions. Is it making her question stuff? Is it bringing up fears either of, you know, the faith process she's going through or her family, you know, rejecting her in some way? Like, are you talking to her about any challenges his behavior is imposing on her?
I haven't gotten deeply into it. I think, you know, her major concern is me not causing any waves with the family.
Well, yeah, so. No, and I'm not even talking about, like, you know, how to deal with him, right? I think the first thing is to kind of talk with her about how she feels about all of this. You know, step one, I think, has to be kind of going to her and saying, you know what, honestly, it really hurts when I hear your uncle saying those things. It makes me feel like your family's, you know, or he is specifically trying to undermine what we're doing. I guess I feel a little afraid that maybe it's going to pull you away from me and this journey that we're on. How do you feel?
And I want to know what you're going through, because, you know, we're on this journey, but it's really hard for somebody to keep sticking their ankle out and giving you something to trip over. And I want to make sure I'm taking care of you through this whole thing.
And another part of that conversation would be, you know, and how would you want me to, not just to respond to it, but understand what he's doing? Because, you know, when you grow up in a family, sometimes we're able to say, oh, that person, that's just the way they are. It doesn't matter what we're going to say to them. They're just going to say stuff, and you just have to let it go in one ear and out the other. Other times, it's like, well, yeah, no, really, we need to say something about this. You know, but I'd like you to kind of get some feedback from her on how, not how she wants you to respond to it, how she wants you to understand what's going on there.
And how you can support her through it all.
Secondly, I'd really love for the two of you to be praying about all of this, right? You know, hopefully you're praying about this journey in general, but about this in particular. You know, Lord, help us, you know, as we're drawing closer to you and to the church, just help us to know how to deal with the pushback that we get from other people. You know, help us to know what it means to be loving to them, whether it means letting things go or saying something. And if it means saying something, then let us know how to do that. You know, because, you know, her natural tendency might be to just not make waves, where your natural tendency might be to go in and kind of fight the good fight. But, you know, depending on the situation, either of those could be the right thing or the wrong thing. And you need some guidance on how to handle that. And so bringing that to the Lord and really asking him, how do we deal with that pushback, Lord, as we draw closer to you into the church? What do you want us to do? You know, so start with those things. And then, you know, if you feel like you need some more support, my book, God Help Me, These People Are Driving Me Nuts, Making Peace with Difficult People, talks about how to set boundaries charitably. And, you know, most people think that setting boundaries is all about cutting people off and saying, you know, you can't do that or you can't be in my life or that sort of thing. It's really not. What it is about is it's saying, you know, you can't climb in my back window, but I'm going to hold the front door open so that you can walk in like a normal person if you want to. Right? It's giving somebody a healthy way to do the thing they're trying to do while shutting the door on the unhealthy things they're trying to do. And that enables you to insulate yourself from the drama in unhealthy relationships while simultaneously opening the door to a healthier and holier relationship in the future. That's God Help Me, These People Are Driving Me Nuts, Making Peace with Difficult People.
Well, the other recommendation I would give you, Andrew, is Greg's book, Praying For and With Your Spouse, because you guys are on this amazing journey, right? You're together, you're moving toward being in the Catholic Church, toward knowing Jesus fully, body, blood, soul, and divinity in the Eucharist. You know, her uncle's afraid she won't have a real relationship with Jesus Christ. You get to, like, have a relationship with Jesus Christ in his real presence. That is a very deep and intimate and wonderful life-giving relationship, right? Where everything about who you are as a couple just gets brighter and better as you experience being Catholic together. But it's not enough to say, well, we're just going to go through RCA, we're going to learn all this stuff, and then we're going to be Catholic, and we're going to go to church every week. No, God's calling you into really knowing each other's souls and hearts in a much deeper way, and to heal each other's wounds, and to be there for each other in a whole new way, and really knowing how to pray for and with each other is going to be a huge component in this. So I want you to be able to come out of not just the RCIA process, not just uncles like challenges, but all of this where the three of you, you, your wife, and Christ himself have this deep and intimate relationship at the end of this journey together.
Thank you, Andrew, for the call. If there's more we can do for you, don't hesitate to reach out to us. You know, I got to say, I'm always a little surprised when Catholics are kind of put on the defense when people, you know, challenge us in our relationship with God, because, you know, Jesus actually says, if you don't eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life within you. How can you, if you reject the Eucharist, how can you be confident in your salvation? That's for somebody else to answer. Anyway, as we head out to our break, it's time for our scripture of the day, which comes to us from Luke chapter 6, verse 27.
Love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who mistreat you.
This is a powerful scripture, and this verse goes on to talk about the turning the other cheek thing and all of that, and it's a scripture that's very powerful, but also terribly misunderstood.
Yes, I was saying.
Because again, you know, along with what we were saying earlier about blessed are you who are persecuted for my sake, you know, it gives a lot of people the impression that we just sort of have to put our head down and take whatever abuse comes our way. But that's not really true. And let me just give you an illustration of what that is. So the next part of this verse, you know, it talks about turning the other cheek, which again, people think, well, that means, you know, we should just take whatever abuse comes our way. That's a very powerful, gutsy response. I mean, just imagine if somebody slaps you and you look them in the eye and you give them your other cheek. That's a power move, people.
It is. It is. It is. And even if we look at the, you know, the just what we're asked to do here, love your enemies. That means work for their ultimate good. Doesn't mean just saying, oh, okay, you're a nice person. Work for their ultimate good. That means work for the good of their souls. If you have to be able to take that on and help them transform their lives, you're called to do it. Do good to those who hate you. Same thing. You're working for their ultimate good. There's so much here that isn't just passively saying, oh, well, they're terrible people, but I'll be a passive, kind Christian. No, nowhere in this scripture does it say be nice. In fact, in the Gospels, it doesn't say to be nice.
It's all about being strong and making the choice that allows you to work for the good of the other person. And in some cases, like we said, that means giving them the space to self-correct. But often it means stepping up and saying, you need to stop that. And here's why. And even imposing consequences if that doesn't work. So, you know, maybe a fresher look at that scripture that we're all familiar with from Luke 877-927-6627. With that, we got to go to break. When we come back, we're continuing to take your calls about being on defense as we feel attacked or misunderstood, picked on, persecuted, disrespected by the people in our life. How do we respond? How do we respond gracefully and effectively? The number 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825. More to Life will continue in just a minute.
Underwritten in part by this not-for-profit.
Are you looking for peace? Longing for joy? Want to meet the giver of all goodness? God is calling the laity to bring Ignatian prayer into the suffering world. Work for the new evangelization. Go to LordTeachMeToPray.com. Order your free digital training and manual. Find true happiness and everlasting joy. Go to LordTeachMeToPray.com
and click on the red button today.
It's free. Approved by the USCCB.
Jesus calls his followers disciples. That's the word that we use in English. But really, in the Greek New Testament, it's the word for student. Now, you might say the school of Jesus Christ is more of a trade school or technical school than it is a liberal arts college, because in the school of Jesus Christ, you learn how to live like the master lives. But it is a school. The teacher isn't just passing along information. The teacher is passing along knowledge of the ultimate purposes of God. The master is passing along the knowledge of life and the will of God concerning man. The school of Jesus Christ is a real thing, and if we are disciples of his, we've entered into that school, and by paying attention to his teaching, we will conform our lives to his.
Cresta in the Afternoon with Al Cresta, 4 Eastern on EWTN Radio.
Would you get on a plane that doesn't have a pilot? Investing in passive index mutual funds may present the same issue. Get active with the Ave Maria Mutual Funds. Our funds are actively managed by seasoned investment professionals to help meet your investment goals in a morally responsible way. Ave Maria Mutual Funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors should consider investing in the no-load Ave Maria Mutual Funds. Call Ave Maria Mutual Funds today, toll-free, 866-AVE-MARIA, or visit AveMariaFunds.com. The advisor invests in securities only if they meet the fund's investment and religious requirements, and as such, the return may be lower or higher than if the advisor made decisions based solely on investment considerations. The fund's method of security selection may or may not be successful, and the fund may underperform or outperform the stock market as a whole. All mutual funds are subject to market risk, including possible loss of principal. For a prospectus, which includes objectives, risk, fees, charges, expenses, and other information that should be read and considered carefully before investing, call 1-866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com. Distributed by Ultimus Fund Distributors, LLC.
Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
Let's go right now to Claire, who's listening EWTN Radio in Illinois.
Hi, Claire. Welcome to More to Life. I know you were telling our screener that you have a 38-year-old son who is kind of obnoxious to you and has been maybe for almost 15 years, and everybody else is aware of it, and even your grandkids kind of stick up for you, but he's still doing it. Is that sort of a good summary of the situation, and how can we help you?
Oh, definitely. Yeah, I just got raised. My dad was a real yeller, and so I'm just used to shutting down. And so I'm just unable to be assertive to, you know, handle this. And also, he's in recovery, a recovery program. He's got like 3 years. I've got like over 40. And I was coming up on a challenge for myself to sort of do a, you know, like eighth and ninth step. I don't know if you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, we do.
Right. And so, you know, maybe it might be entwined in there, but I don't know how to approach this because I just shut down all the time. I'm going to listen.
So a couple of things. One thing that I would recommend that you could start doing today is write down maybe the last half dozen or dozen, you know, keep a notebook, actually, and just write down the last, say, you know, handful of interactions you've had with him where he's shouted you down like that or shut you down in some way. Write down one in the first column, what did he say? Second column, what did you do? And the third column, what virtues do you feel like you'd need? Confidence, strength, charity, grace, assertiveness, whatever those qualities were. And think a little bit about times when you've displayed those qualities, even if it was just a little bit. And if you could display even a little bit of those qualities in that situation, what would you say or do? Script it out. Because part of the problem is, you know, we go through a bad situation and we get shut down, all of us do, but then we say, oh, thank God that's over, and we don't think about it again. But if you go back afterward and you walk through it just like I shared and you pray about it, then you're able to start to script out a different response. And the more you do this, the more you practice it, the more effective you can be at catching yourself the next time and actually doing that thing. It takes preparation, though. And if we're not prepared for it, then we end up falling back into the same place over and over and over again. That said, this might be a little challenging for you to do on your own, so that might require you to get a little bit of professional pastoral counseling support. And if so, we're here for you as well. You can learn more at CatholicCounselors.com. But I would start with that journaling exercise, where, again, column one, what did he say? Column two, what did you do? Column three, what virtues would you need to handle that better? And when have you displayed those virtues? And finally, column four, what would you say or do if you had those virtues? All right? If you'd like more support with that, don't hesitate to reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com to learn more about the Pastoral Solutions Institute's pastoral telecounseling practice, where you can work with a faithful, professional Catholic counselor to help you transform your marriage, family, or personal life. Get out there and celebrate the life God has for you, because with His grace, there really is so much more to life. God bless you, David.
You've been listening to More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa Popcheck. More to Life is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and is carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Our producer is Dan McGraw. For copies of this program or for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net.